You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you tell us about what the public investment gap is?
So across the next few years, across the next 4 years, we can see that population is likely to grow quite significantly. If it grows at its current rate, which is 2.8%, that would mean that we would see an extra more than 600,000 new New Zealanders living here. That creates new demand for public goods and public services, everything from firefighters through to GPs, through to, you know, air quality monitoring, everything that the state does. However, the level of spending of the government is not rising at the same rate. That means every dollar has to go further and further. If we keep expenditure at the same level it was in 2024, then what that means is that there's a gap that emerges as a consequence of that population change. That's the public expenditure gap that we've highlighted in our report.
So what kind of impacts on society and the population can we expect if the public investment gap increases?
We'd expect to see a few things. The first of which is that we would anticipate it would get more difficult to get a frontline service. So you'd spend longer at accident and emergency. It may be harder to get a GP's appointment. If you have children, they may well be less invested on them on a per capita basis in education. And so things will get tougher in the public realm. And this is all, of course, before any changes that the current government's proposing in terms of cuts to public expenditure, which will then just simply make that gap worse. So it will get harder and harder to get things done. It may take longer for you to get your passport. It may take longer for you to get help from the government in a particular form. It may well mean that the public estate is degraded and that, you know, things like parks, wildlife areas, other areas, see less maintenance. Overall, we end up with a little bit of a worse public realm everywhere in New Zealand.
So which aspects of public infrastructure and services in Aotearoa currently need the most attention or will be affected the most by a public investment gap?
Well, one of the key issues we have to work out is where should we be expensing money first? And we should be doing that with those with the very highest needs. So, for example, we have a state housing wait list now that is more than 20,000 households long. But we've decided not to invest any money in housing, new state housing, after 2025. So it's in housing, it's in climate change, and it's in social welfare. It's in making sure that those with the very least ability to bear the burden of cuts to public expenditure, they're the ones actively being asked to bury that burden. So that's where we should be attempting to make sure that we're not asking people to bury the consequences of that change. Unfortunately, those are exactly the groups that are going to bear the burden of that public spending gap that emerges as a consequence of rapid population growth.
Was expenditure in public services at a suitable level before the current government came in?
There's a great argument to be had about what a suitable level of public expenditure is. You know, for many people, the level of public expenditure that we have is too low. For many people, it may well be, you know, too high. All we've done is we just said, if you hold it where it is right now, this gap emerges. Arguably, we've underinvested in our public estate for decades in New Zealand. And actually, we need to be investing more, both to catch up and to make sure that we're delivering decent public services across New Zealand. And to give you a very brief example of that, the Infrastructure Commission has examined what it calls the public investment gap in New Zealand that already exists. These are the schools, hospitals, roads, and other things that should exist and don't. And that gap is currently $100 billion. And over the next 20, 30 years, that will double on our current investment plans to a $200 billion infrastructure gap in New Zealand. So that arguably the evidence points to consistent underinvestment in the public realm in New Zealand.
One last question. Why do you think the government is prioritizing tax cuts over public expenditure?
I wish I could give you a really good, reasoned argument as to why that was the case. There's very little, if no, economic evidence that supports giving landlords the kinds of tax changes that have been proposed in the hope that they will somehow reduce rents. And rents are set by supply and demand. There will still be the same number of units of housing at the end of this, and so therefore the rents will still be the same. Landlords will just get some of their interest back in the form of a tax break. So I can't give you a really good reason why that's the case. All I can tell you is that that $3 billion, which is going to landlords, could be making an enormous difference to communities right around New Zealand and tackling many of the problems we've discussed on this call.
So just before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to close off with?
If we consistently kick the can down the road on investment and we leave a gap for investment, we can do that for a bit. But what we're doing is we're making the bill more and more expensive, and we're pushing up the costs further and further down the line. I live in Wellington, and we have a water infrastructure that's highly problematic and has huge leaks all over the city, and it's a consequence of decades of underinvestment in that infrastructure. We've seen public transport networks reach their peak capacity, and it's because of decades of underinvestment in that capacity. There are many challenges that are starting to come home to us, and if we continue to kick the can down the road, we're going to see more and more social challenges come out into the open as a consequence of that underinvestment.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.